Hello, fellow saints, and welcome. We're so grateful that you're here today. Thank you for your support and standing with us in advancing the kingdom of God. If you'd like to give today, we invite you to do so, but please know there is absolutely no pressure. Your presence and prayers mean so much to us. For those who choose to give, your generosity makes a real difference, and every gift, no matter the amount, is deeply appreciated. Please know that 100% of all proceeds go directly toward our nonprofit activities and outreach. For more information about our outreach programs and community, you can visit our Instagram page. Giving is simple. You click the Make a Gift link in the navigation menu or scroll down to the bottom of this page and follow the link provided. Thank you once again for your kindness and faithfulness in sowing into the kingdom. Together we are making an impact. Thank you for tuning in.
Greater love for Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for this fellowship. Father, in the name of Jesus, as always, I ask that you forgive us our sins and that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Father, in the name of Jesus, that your will be our very desire. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, bless us, Lord God. As I decrease, increase in me to teach your people your word. We love you and we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And all those that agreed said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we are in Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. I have to back up in 2:19 so that we can get, or 2:18, so that we can get the understanding of what Paul is saying in 1 of the third chapter. So let me back up to 2:19, and then we're going to pick up 3:1, as we remembering that this was written in a continuum. It was not broken down by chapters, verses at that time. But thank God so that we can find it when we need to find it. It is. So in 2:18, it says, "For through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for the habitation of God through the Spirit." Now, notice it says we are built together through by the habitation of God through the Spirit. And then Paul goes in 3:1 and says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." So, for this cause, I, Paul, basically am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. So he is a representative of someone that is not a Jew coming into the place of being a fellow citizen in Christ. If you do not get the capsulation of that, God is bringing two into one up under the one banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why people don't need to get caught up into whether this person is studying the law, whether this person is not studying the law, and all the rest of that. I am a Gentile saved by grace. And this is what Paul is teaching through the Lord. And 2, it says, "If ye have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me towards you." So he says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me towards you." Okay, so, or to you word, as it says in public. Some King James versions don't say it like that, but to you word. So, Paul is a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we could be a part of that building, a part of that habitation, which Christ, that is built upon the apostles and the prophets, not upon the law. Notice he said it is built upon the apostles and the prophets, being that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. So if you're in the law, you are under the law of Moses. You are under the dispensation of the law. And if you're going to follow the law, then you're responsible for all the law. That is for those who are following the law. But if you are under the dispensation of grace, then you only come under the dispensation of grace through the apostles and the prophets. You cannot come under that through any other way, being that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, so that you get blessed by Christ. Once you come into the family of salvation, you ask to be saved, and then he ushers you into the place where the two can become one, where the two can become one. So there is an avenue for those who are following the law to come into the dispensation of grace. And there's an avenue for those who did not follow the law, being Gentiles, to come in and become the fellow citizen, but it is under the dispensation of grace. It is not under the dispensation of the law. He says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mysteries. I'm in three. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So, in order to fulfill this, we have to go over to Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 9, which I have it written on the board. It says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. And intend that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are up on earth. So he's clearly telling you that the dispensation of grace is the tool that he uses according to his purpose, according to his pleasure, his good pleasure, his purpose for himself to bring two into one. You cannot, so that means you cannot be a follower of the law and deal in grace. You cannot be a follower of grace and deal in the law. The two are separate. See, two different dispensations. For those that are going to follow the law, then you have to follow the law with as much wisdom as you can, and you're responsible for holding, keeping all the law. Without the dispensation of grace, without the mercy of God, without all these things, you cannot be forgiven. And grace, which is God's goodness shed abroad towards us who love him. You cannot get that blessing because you love him if you're a follower of the law. You must come into the place where you are under the dispensation, under the time, under the age, so to speak, of grace. So he's pretty clear here. He goes on to 5 to say, which in the ages, or the dispensation, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. Now listen to this, very careful. Which in the ages, which is the dispensation, the times, in other words, which was not made known unto the sons of men back then. See? As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and his prophets by the Spirit. Not in the Spirit. By the Spirit. So these things are done by the teacher. The Holy Spirit is to lead you to all spiritual truth. Spiritual truth. He is not to lead you to all truth. He is to lead you to all spiritual truth. That's why he is called the teacher. He is a teacher of those that follow God when it comes to spiritual things. By revelation knowledge, he reveals that to you when it comes to spiritual things. This is the great mistake that a lot of people make, because they start using the Holy Spirit to do carnal things. They start using the Holy Spirit to make not carnal in the place of sin, but everyday changes in people's lives as they equate to their flesh and the things that need to happen in this life. And that's not what the Holy Spirit is the teacher of. He leads you to all spiritual truth, not physical truth. See, this is where the mistake is made, because they don't understand that these things is done by the Spirit, spiritually, so that a person will know in the ages to come that this is revealed revelation knowledge by his holy prophets, his holy apostles and prophets, by the Spirit. Not by anything else. Turn to 6. Okay. Thank you. Turn to 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. Yay. You're welcome. by the gospel that the Gentiles, we who are not Jews, should be fellow heirs, that we get the same promise. We get the heir is somebody that gets the inheritance. Are you following what I'm saying? So that we would have likewise inheritance of the same body and partakers of the promise of Christ by the gospel. So all this comes in by the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ opens the door for the grace of God. Grace is God's tender mercies being shed abroad on top of men or with men, or his goodness freely shed abroad because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ by his blood that washes you. See, under the Old Testament, you were only able to get mercy. You were not able to get grace. See, mercy is the thing that covers you for the things that you've done wrong because God loves you. But it does not get you to the place where you can step into the place where God is just shedding his love on you just because you love him. See, this is very intricate. And it may not be one of them shouting messages, but it is very serious if you pay attention to what's being said. So let me read it again in 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Why is that important? Because the Gentiles did not have the promise of heaven. Only Abraham's children, the Jews, had the promise of heaven. And that promise is not based upon how good they are. That promise is based upon the fact that God so loved Abraham that he said, I am going to make your descendants innumerable. As the sands of the sea are, so shall your people be upon earth. But what they did not understand is that when he included the sands of the sea, he was also including a future Gentile church along with you. Now, why is that important? Because now you're starting to see where he's bringing the two into one. He's bringing two different sets of people up under one banner. And that banner is the dispensation of grace. See? And of the same body, we're going to be of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Well then, Pastor, how could you say that if the people that died under the law never got the benefit of hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, when Jesus jumped the great gulf fix that was between man, between paradise and hell, what Jesus did is he jumped it. And he went over to where Lazarus was, and he preached the gospel message to those who were held captive. Now you see where the Bible says those that were held captive now have, those that have been in captivity have been held captive is now free. So now that they're free, they now have the rights to the kingdom. They now have the right to become an heir. You're welcome. They now have the right to become an heir. I think you're trying to wait for you to sit down. So anyway, and of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. So Jesus went over there and preached the gospel message to those that were in paradise who lived a life according to God under the law. See, because the law can't get you to heaven. The law cannot save you. Only the gospel message of Jesus Christ can save you. To get to the place where you become this two coming into one, that they would all go to heaven. You cannot, being the law, you cannot sit up there in the heavens of God because your sins have not been washed. See? So this is what people need to understand when they're seeing this. So in 7 it says, whereof I was made minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So Paul says, I was made a minister according to the gift of grace. According to the gift of grace. In other words, I've been given a gift because I don't deserve this gift. I didn't earn this gift. That's why I'm a fellow prisoner. That's why I'm a fellow citizen. That's why I yield my knee to Jesus, because I didn't earn this gift. It's no work that I did. If you really took the account of Paul's life, you would see that there is nothing that he could have ever done to earn the station that he got. But yet, God looked past his fault and saw his need. That is abundant grace. And people miss that. And it says, the gift of grace of God given. The gift of grace of God given. Let me say it again. The gift of grace God given. So this can only be given. It cannot be earned. Unto me by the effectual working of whose power? Of God's power. It says, unto me, who I am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. 9, and to make all men see, that is the fellowship of the mystery, that same mystery he spoke about in the very beginning here in the first chapter 9 and 10, which is on the board, where it speaks about how the two is coming into one. The two is made of one flesh. That same mystery, which is a mystery to men. If it wasn't, then more people would get into grace and get out of that law. It says, let me read it again, 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So he is the least. See, it is only the effectual working of God's power that brings Paul to the place where he should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Do you know that this word is the unsearchable riches of Christ? Do you know this word has in it not just the mystery, but the exceeding blessing of God, which is rich beyond anything? And a lot of people don't like to get into the word because they don't want to know the truth. It is a great thing to know the truth of God. 10 says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Let me read that again. It was done, who, it says in 9, who created all things, the last part of 9, who created all things by Jesus Christ. God had this hidden in him, and it was to this intent that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church as manifold wisdom of God. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, we talked about it already. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 20, verse 1. Verse 120, where it says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him right at his own right hand in the what? Heavenly places. Then he starts to describe the heavenly place. This heavenly place is far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is come. And hath put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That is definitely talking about this power that was released in Jesus when you accept him as your personal Savior. But then how do we get into that? In 2:4 it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are seated in this heavenly place in Christ Jesus with Christ on the right hand of God's throne. See, this is the intent. This is the hidden thing. This is the intent that God had purposed in himself that he would do. So if you go back to 10, it says, this was done to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known to the church as manifold wisdom of God. Do you see God unfolding his wisdom in the church, where people are starting to understand that he has given these gifts in earthen vessels, that they are set aside far apart, far above all principalities, all powers, all mights, all dominions. everything that is named, not only in this world, but also that is which is to come. You have this gift and earthen vessel, but if you do not even believe it exists, then you miss the true intent of what God had hidden all them years in the Old Testament. He kept it hidden so that it could be revealed by Christ. This is what the Holy Spirit leads you to. This spiritual truth in earthen vessel. You are the earthen vessel. When Christ comes and joins in your heart, then he is a part of you. And when he is a part of you, and then you are seated at the right hand of God, you have the benefit of all this spiritually. But you cannot enact anything spiritually if you don't believe it. You cannot move spiritually unless you allow faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on Calvary's cross and you being washed in his blood to become the most preeminent thing of your life. If you place anything else above that, then you have thwarted the very hidden thing that God had said, and he brought this to the place of the intent that through the church people would know the greatness of the riches of Christ. We miss it. We miss this. See? Because this is not a shouting message. This is not a hallelujah message. But this is a message to make you think. See? This is how we miss it. 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is according to the eternal purpose. This was the eternal purpose that God so said when in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of water, and God said, let there be light. When he proclaimed, let there be light, that was a talking of the Christ coming. For Jesus is the light of this world. All of this was a part of his eternal purpose from the time he spoke light into the earth. And you find out in John that when the light showed up, the darkness comprehended it not. It did not understand it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You have to get the message of this. 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Of who? Of Christ. See, so that gives you a certain kind of boldness. And it should give you a certain kind of confidence. Not based upon you, not based upon how much you know, but in the Christ that washed you. The Christ that cleansed you. The Christ that loved you. The Christ that died for you. It should give you a boldness to speak boldly and proclaim what thus saith the Lord at any time. Not to the place of condemnation, but to the place of winning. To the place of winning. I need you to sit down. Please. Thank you. To the place of winning. I need your dad to pay attention to this. Because this is important stuff. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He goes on to say, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. It says in 13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So he, what is he saying? I desire that you faint not at the tribulation that I have for you, because you have to go through a certain amount of tribulation here upon the earth. And people sit up there and tell you a lie. Oh, you ain't got to go through nothing. Jesus paid it all. That is not what he paid. He paid for all your sins that you would ever do on this earth on Calvary's cross. He did not pay for the tribulation because he himself went through tribulation. He said, don't fret. I've also gone through tribulation, but I have overcome the world. See? And that's what we seem to teach, especially when people teach what the Holy Ghost says and all the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and they do what they do. They want to teach people that you don't have to come to a place where you have to go through tribulation. No, we are sinners saved by grace. Our heart has got to be tested and we have to go through a battery of tests so that our will in him would be perfected, that our faith would be perfected. Faith is only perfected by adversity. If the enemy did not come against you, then how would you know you could stand? How would you know that we can stand? Your faith has got to be tested with adversity. But as soon as adversity comes, we run. That means someday, somehow, you're going to have to face that test again. That test again, because if it came upon you, God allowed it. This is why fathers are important. Because fathers will show you how to walk through the test and still stay unscathed in the things of Jesus. See? Still stayed with your feet planted against the things of God. That's what fathers are for. And if you don't have no fathers, then you need pastors. And if you don't have no pastors, then you need brothers. If you don't have no brothers, a man can be the only one to show a man how to walk through this. A woman cannot do it. That's it. A woman cannot do it. It's not going to happen. She don't think like a man. And look, on the vice versa, a man can't do it for a woman. Because we don't think like them. God placed women in the place to teach the younger women. God placed men in the place to teach the younger men. That's what scripture dictates. And that is the way this thing works. Because Christ alone is allowing tribulation to come to your life. Because he knows what you're going to need at the end of all this. And he knows what test to put you through. Now, is it evil? No, it's not. How do I know that? Because James says, God has not been tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man with evil. So it's something that you can handle. How do I know that? Because the scripture says there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above with the temptation, but also be there in the temptation and make a way of escape. So God did not say he was going to stop the temptation. He said he's going to stand with you in the temptation so that he can show you the way of escape. Because it is a learning too. It is a lesson that we have to go through. As soon as we shut our mouths and get out of the way and start allowing the temptation to come, the tribulation to come, then we can start learning what Christ needed us to do. It has to happen. It has to happen. It has to happen. 14 says, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is for this cause, he said, I bow my knee. 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. See? That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So this ain't even for your flesh. This is for the spirit in you. To strengthen you. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That is the purpose. That is the reason why God. Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Because these things have to happen. Because I don't know what you're going to need 20 years from now. But God does. I don't know what you're going to need 5 years from now. But God does. And he's trying to strengthen you to prepare you for that great and faithful day so that when it came time for you to reach for him, you would look towards the hills from whence cometh your help. My help coming from the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for your wisdom, for your word, Lord God. I pray that people would take the time and pick this apart and really get the things that they need from this. Father, bless them with an everlasting love, an everlasting blessing that would touch their lives from this point on. forever, knowing that just because I start here, I don't have to stay here. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And all those that agree said amen.
Amen.
I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending your son. I accept Jesus now as my personal Lord and Savior. I ask Jesus the Christ to come in my heart and live. I choose light. I choose life in Christ. I choose truth. I choose the narrow way. I believe Jesus died for my sin. And according to the scriptures, that you raised him from the dead for my benefit. Heavenly Father, thank you for accepting me as your child. In Jesus' name, amen.
The evil ones dwell, cause they fail. What some like to refer to as hell, never unveil the downscale of the segregated, isolated, degenerated, and investigated committee. Destroy the whole city one by one, make it kill off each other with a knife or a gun, you having fun. But in the end, you'll be judged by the Lord, cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together, and the Lord I seek it, trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking up some truth into your souls I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs, look, he ain't a stranger, and get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the children. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the children.
Don't feel exempt, come on, attempt to step into the light, because deep in your heart, you know what's wrong, you know what's right, don't delay. Stop playing with your worldly ways, cause once you sell out to the devil, ain't no need to pray. Cause when you die, that's where you lie, and ain't no resurrection. Burning in the lake of fire, left without no protection. Rejection is what the enemy really despises. He tells you what you wanna hear, but you know we good for lies. Rebuke and keep on stepping, that's your weapon, and it work. It don't matter what he say, it don't matter what he learn. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend, cause trust don't get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out. Stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow, so pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the children. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the children.
Now if you came right now, then tell me what you would do. Cause when it's time to get judged, see that's between him and you. Hit your knees and praise the one and only true Savior. That's all you're seeing behind closed doors. And yet he forget you. And if you don't commit your life living in sin, then in hell is where you dwell for eternity. And then you're burning fire and the pain will never cease. Plus ain't no getting out though, you begging again and please. There is hope. Seven seals and the trumpets blow for peace in heaven and hell on earth. That's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up and get some education. It's all there loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit to the angel of death. You better think about it before you come up on your last breath. Repent for all your sins, learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare, we live in the last days.
People, get ready, cause he's